Hey, welcome back to English History, Fact and Fiction. My name's Dick Newman. This is the episode 173, Trouble and Strife, which is over in the US, isn't it? Because we're transitioning from the mad Orange King to Sleepy Joe. And the news is that Sleepy Joe's already putting the band back together. That's the band that brought you such hits as The War in Iraq and The War in Afghanistan. But I see they're all down on Russia at the moment, so the USA, that's going to be your enemy for the next 4 years. Russia. I don't know why they picked that. It's pretty fucked, Russia. Of course, there's the news in from the UN about children in Afghanistan, where five children every day, every single day, five children are either killed or maimed. That would be 26,025 in the last 14 years. And I know you're saying, oh, that's that naughty Taliban, but it's not just the naughty Taliban. We've got drone strikes and kiddies caught in crossfire, and of course our own Australian soldiers now accused of war crimes, and seems they're pretty guilty of killing civilians. And on top of that, you've got severe malnutrition and hunger, and now COVID-19. Sadly, we don't have much money for humanitarian aid in Afghanistan because we're all busy spending our money on weapons to take there. Let's get on with it.
Spend my days with a woman and kind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind to make a new start, going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers in her hair.
And we're off and running with a little bit of Going to California, Led Zeppelin, from about 1972. Last week's badly named episode, Goodbye Ted Seymour, failed to see Ted Seymour off, but he was in a lot of trouble, wasn't he? Ted was doing a King Donald saying shit like, we're the best performing nation in the history of the universe for dealing with COVID-19 and prayer book revolts, which, by the way, is the fault of the radical left. Unlike the US, our English nobles smelt the bullshit and tossed Ted in a slammer, but then he got back out. Still, Dudley is running the show now. It was a bit happy for Mary of Guise, who's holidaying in France. Not so happy in England, where there is still civil unrest. We left it with a wedding. Ted Seymour's daughter to John Dudley's son, but by the time we got to the actual wedding, Dudley failed to attend with gossip magazines suggesting the two big swinging dicks had fallen out again. Ted Seymour had, of course, made it worse by letting Stephen Gardner boo hiss out of the slammer. Dudley will confront Seymour to rip it up in, and Ted don't go looking to Kitty King Ted for sympathy because he hates Gardner too, and so is pissed off with you. Dudley doesn't want any splits in the council, so it'll just be a warning to Ted Seymour again. Lady, formerly Princess Mary, is also in a tiz. She is thinking that it's only a matter of time before she gets told no magic show in Latin at all. And of course she's been abusing the fuck out of her indulgence, as you do, providing the Latin magic show to anyone who asks. She was supposed to do it in her own bedroom with the lights out, wouldn't she? The council will again look to limit the number of people she can show the Latin magic show to. Mary is asking Imperial Ambassador Vanderdelf again to get her out of the country. She's particularly worried that if the Kitty King should die, then her enemies will have her head right off. I fear I may tarry too long, and if the council were possessed of the same foresight that the late king my father had, I should be too late now even to save myself. Yes, she'll go on to outline what will happen to her. She'll be ordered inland, away from any port, deprived of her servants, reduced to destitution, and then death. And fair enough, that's what happened to her mum. Tough gig for Vanderdelf, who had previously said, look, just stick around, things will get better. But now, even he's worried for her. He does also seem to think she may not be the sharpest knife in the rack, and if she's left to herself, she'll fuck things up. So getting her out of England might be for the best. Then he can get a nice rebellion going. He's actually been recalled as ambassador because he's had a long-standing runny nose, so perhaps he can sneak Mary out at the same time. Yeah, okay, so Super Sausage Chuck will tick off on that idea, and Vanderdelf will be helped by Chuck's sister, Mary of Hungary. Mary, that is, Lady, formerly Princess Mary, that one, will say her house needs a good clean, so she'll have to move to Woodham Walter, which is handily just 2 miles away from the sea. A couple of Imperial warships will move into Malden. The plan is for Vanderdelf's secretary, Jean Dubois, to pose as a corn trader, buy corn and slip Mary out with the corn. It's all good to go, and Dubois will write to Mary's household officer, Robert Rochester, saying, "Get Mary here." Rochester will urge delay. Does this dickhead understand tie times? Dubois will send back, "Now is the time to act, but if you don't, then just be sure to understand the Emperor did all he could." Rochester will ask for a meeting, and they will meet. Who wants a meeting? What we want is Princess Mary on the fucking ship, but no, ask for a meeting. Rochester's balls are shrunk. Too risky, he says. Too many spies around, and what risk is there to her in England? Really, it's nothing. But if she nicks off, there'll be a big old scandal. And if the Kitty King should die, she may miss out on the silly hat. So what do you think, Dubois? I'll tell you what I think. I think I'm here to obey the lady formerly Princess Mary, not make fucking policy decisions. If she doesn't want to go, then she doesn't want to go. If she does want to go, then it's now or never. As for her opportunity to get the silly hat, that's exactly why the Emperor has constantly advised her to stay. Now, mate, clock's ticking. It's go or no. Yeah, no, can't hurry important stuff like this, is Rochester. And besides, Mary wants to meet you for a chat. Oh, fuck, that's his Dubois. If they catch me, it'll be my nuts off, guts out, head off, and I'll be spread all over England. And so the lads parted company with Rochester promising to get back to Dubois. 1 a.m. and Dubois will be escorted to a house where he'll find an agitated Mary with a bag full of her favourite undies. "I need more stuff," she says. Dubois will point out that the priority is to get the fuck out of England to safety. "You can buy more frocks when you get there," he says. Knock on the door, and it's Rochester to say, "Oh, the pigs are everywhere, man." And 2 Imperial warships hanging around has raised the odd concern. "Oh, fuck it," says Dubois. "Let's go, Mary." "Nah," says Rochester, "way too scary." Mary will be helpful by running around in small circles saying, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" Now, just in case you're panicking, my dearest listener, I shall reveal to you that there is a 99% chance that Rochester is talking total shit and there's no fuzz running around the place looking for a crime to bust. There are other things he was supposed to arrange, at least Rochester, and he hasn't arranged any of those, so it really looks like he just intends to keep Mary in England. Dubois will say, "Look, I'll piss off, get the ships away a bit, and I'll be back in 10 days' time." That won't happen, because 10 days is plenty of time for the gossip to get out. English hard men will get to Mary to provide a nice security guard, and to make sure she doesn't escape, and large numbers of soldiers will be sent to every port. Okay, that's over. So, let's get back to religion, and we'll have Acts of Parliament in January 1550 ordering the removal of all service books other than the Common Prayer Book, and any statutes that remain must go. Pause, my dear listener, so that I might remind you that a lot of the books that must go are rather ancient. Marvellous works of art that the monks in their monkey houses have spent years and years and years creating. That's all gone. Now, I know it's magical bullshit, but it's also antiquarian books, so I'm sad. It's also structural reform of the churchy types. 8 orders of the church will be slashed to just 3. So the new 3, which still in place now, will be bishops, or if you like, the admin, the CEO of his area, priests, or the front of house magicians, and deacons, or the money men, all important deacons. Yeah, that's what I would have been, one of the money men. The main role of the magician is changed from doing the magic show to preachifying the word of God and dole out the bread without yeast. And don't ask me if we're doing the 2-way with the slug of house bread at this time or not, because I just can't keep up with it. And while this is happening, the balance of power is shifting to the reformers, with conservative bishops going into retirement, often forced, death, or they can face confrontation with the government. Yeah, may not want to do that last one. 27 sees will see reformer bishops come in, and they're keen. New Bishop of London will have the altars removed to be replaced by communion tables. And oddly enough, that's what baby Jesus had wanted. All you need, my dear listener, is a table where you can share a meal with others and you're all good to chat to God. You don't need an altar because we don't go around sacrificing lambs. We have bloody slaughterhouses to do that and butchers to carve up for us. We don't do it ourselves anymore, so no altar. This will catch on, and before you know it, altars are being taken down all over the place. Now, a lot of these were big stone things, so they can be sold as gravestones of magnificence for rich people. Overly enthusiastic John Hooper will be given the bishopric of Gloucester, but say, fuck the episcopal vestments and the popish ceremony to make a bishop. They're the work of the Antichrist. He can have a dust-up with Tom Cranmer over this thing. We'll have to boot it upstairs for the Kitty King to decide. Kitty Ted will say, look, you need the fancy duds if you come to court, but wear the fuck whatever you want at Gloucester, I don't care. Then we go over the popish ceremony and the Kitty King will notice the envy. So help me God, all saints and holy evangelists. Oh yes, it's Kitty King Ted, I see what you mean. And with one stroke of the pen, the All Saints and the Holy Evangelists is gone. Yeah, idolatry there. Now, Ted is actually a big boy by now, so it'll be summer progress for him. Step one is to crown the Garter King at Arms. Easy done, you just pour a glass of wine over his head. Yeah, waste of booze if you ask me. Off to Hampton Court, then Windsor, and so on until October when it's back to London. But it's not a happy summer. Food prices are up, harvest is poor, and top guys are shipping weapons all around the place just in case. Some of the top guys are going with the weapons to just protect their lands. Problems in the north with the nobility who aren't keen on all this Reformation stuff and the treatment of Stephen Gardiner Boothius. Northern earls are planning to drop a bill into Parliament saying religion has got to go back to Henry's time with no Reformation until Kitty King Ted gets to be fully grown up King Ted. Yeah, that's been tried before, and it does conform with Henry's will, and it's just trouble and division over points of magical stuff. Problems in London, where lots of soldiers back from Boulogne are hanging around. Yeah, we don't want them hanging around. Word's out that they will form an army to smash up London and steal stuff before wandering around England to do the same. Kitty King Ted has no idea of this. He's on progress and catching up on the deeds of Andrea Doria. Genoese statesman, condottiero, admiral, and pirate. We should do an episode on pirates one of these days, I guess. We really should. Still, back in London in October, and oh dear, he is not a well kitty. Mystery illness, and that will be England's biggest secret. The nobles will unite in the face of the kitty sickness, and I hope that you picked up that I just told you a big, fat pork pie. Of course they won't fucking unite. Seymour and Dudley are at each other, and when Ted's mum died, that's, yeah, Ted Seymour's mum, so Kitty King Ted's granny, isn't it? Yeah, Kitty King Ted's granny. Dudley will refuse the traditional official mourning and state funeral. Council will, of course, back Dudley. He's paid them off. They're his guys, so they say, yeah, private matter, Seymour, nothing to do with the state. Seymour will now start trying to get the balance of power back in the council, and it's not going well. It's division in government again. Meantime, gossip magazines have it that Dudley is looking for a divorce so he can score a bit of baby Betty and eventually become king. Whoa, that's gossip, isn't it? November and Kitty King Ted will make a comeback. He's better again. The council will settle and it's back to a bit of harmony. Religion and priests who are too slow to tear down their altars will find themselves in Fleet Street Slammer, and there are murmurings about Kitty King Ted having evil advisers, that is, Seymour and Dudley. Never good when we go on about evil advisers, is it? But when he cometh of age, he will see another rule and hang up 100 such heretic knaves. Yeah, you wish. Now, Lady, formerly Princess Mary, is on about Ted Seymour made a solid promise ages ago that I could have the Latin proper magic show. Tensions between Mary and the council are mounting. The council will have a crack at arresting her churchy guys for performing the magic show in Latin. That's a bit of a cheap shot. Mary will refuse to serve the warrants on them and say, oh, I've got no idea where those guys are. Christmas and Lady formerly Princess Mary will come to Kitty King Ted's court. Boy, says Ted, you've been having the magic show in Latin, admit it. And Mary will boo-hoo-hoo, and the Kitty King has no armour against girly weeping. Mary will be off home thinking she's had a win. Letter to the council again saying, Ted Seymour approved the magic show in Latin for me, so I'm doing it, and that's my final word. Letter back from the Kitty King. We have suffered it until now, with the hope that some improvement might be forthcoming, but none has been shown. How can we suffer it longer to continue? It is our duty to watch over the welfare of each one of our subjects as ought to watch over himself. You would be angry to see one of the servants of your household, of those nearest to you, openly disregarding your orders, and so it is with us. And you must reflect that in our state it is most grievous to suffer that so high a subject should disregard our laws. Your near relationship to us, your exalted rank, the conditions of the time, all magnify your offence. It is a scandalous thing that so high a personage should deny our sovereignty. That our sister should be less to us than any of our other subjects is an unnatural example. And finally, in a troubled republic, it lends colour to faction among the people. Yeah, pretty straightforward there. It does go on. But let's look at Mary's reply. This letter has caused her more suffering than any illness or even death. Then it's about you're a kiddie, so you should wait until you grow up to make decisions about important things like the magic show being in Latin or English. Yeah, that might not be the smartest of replies, telling somebody they're too young, is it? Yeah, they might be too young, but they're not going to go anywhere telling them that. Mary will be on to the Imperial Ambassadors. Go to the council and remind them of the promise they made to the Emperor Super Sausage that I could do the old religion stuff. My life is in danger. Oh, how fucking dramatic. Off go the ambassadors, but that promise was 3 years ago and things have changed. Yes, they say Ted was a little kiddie 3 years ago, so we just made that promise to kick the can down the road. But now he's getting to be a big boy and he's not happy with it. Maybe some good news, my dear listener. Baby Betty, the good Protestant lady formerly princess, has been welcomed to court. We want to show off the good sister. She up the fabulous bottom, and you know, I now want to invent time travel, just so I can get back there and say, hey Betty, show us this marvellous bum of yours. I suppose you'd tell me to fuck off. Mary wants to go and see the Kitty King. Could be arrested and forced to convert, but it's a risk worth taking for her. In comes Mary, all nice and quiet. No, 50 knights in velvet with gold chains and 400 gentlemen and ladies all holding up the magic beads to show that they have the one, the true, the only correct version of Christianity. It's a big fat show of power for Mary. And after all, she is number 5 on England's richest fat cat list. Plus, if a cousin Super Sausage decides to help out with hardening, she could get a nice civil war going and we could all start killing each other again. Wouldn't that be nice? Out come the mob to cheer and wave, but there's no council there to meet her. There will also be signs, the triple sun thingy, and an earthquake. Thanks God, but Google Translate still hasn't learned to interpret the God message stuff. In she goes, to be met by just one single solitary knight. Yeah. Into the presence chamber, where we've got the Kitty King and 25 members of the council, and it's all, hey, put your feet up, we'll get you a nice cup of tea and some scones. Jam on top, of course. But we're sure you don't do the heretical cream on top. And Kitty King Ted will say, look, just come and have a nice stroll with me, so we can have a chat. Isn't that all nice? Off goes Ted and Mary into the next room, and Mary may have noticed that she's been separated from Team Mary. But that the council have wandered in, and, oh dear, she is surrounded. And there is no cup of tea or scone in sight. Ted will kick off saying, do you remember the letters we sent? They said none of the old religion bullshit. Mary will say, my cousin Super Sausage, got a fair dinkum promise from the council that I could. Ted Scott, well, I didn't know anything about that, and I only started on the religion stuff last year. The family squabble will go on a bit. Ted's too young and needs to learn more. Mary's not so old that she should be able to learn the new stuff, but the council's hopping in from time to time to reinforce the message. No old shit, new shit only. Mary will score points when she points out that Henry's rule says two masses a day must be done for him. That's old shit. Can't do those if they're banned. And, the council had to say, those two masses a day, they do in fact happen. Oh, dear.
What's this song?
Heaven's Right Shore.
Trusting in him who died for sin and rose from the grave. On heaven's bright shore.
On heaven's bright shore.
It's gonna be tomorrow night.
The ever reliable Alison Krauss, and I think that's what Mary might have needed. A little bit of Alison Krauss in her life to calm her down, because she's going to be overly dramatic and say, hey, Ted, could you please kill me? That would be way nicer than taking away my old-fashioned religious ideas. Well, no, Mary, that's a dick of an idea. Mary's mistake in this thinking is that it's all evil advisers, but Kitty King Ted's diary shows us that it's he who's into the reform stuff, and he's really not happy with Mary. 2 days later, and dickhead super-sausage Chuck is threatening war. War over whether one Sheila can hear the good old-fashioned mass. What a dick of an idea. Humans are such dicks. The council will strongly advise Kitty King Ted to back down. No way, he says, I'm not going to let some fat German fucker dictate English policy. Bring on the churchy types, led by Archie Cranmer, and it's all about kings in the old book of magic who sometimes had to suck it up and do crap things for the good of the kingdom, so be a good boy, Ted, and agree to what Chuck wants. Kitty Ted will be, hang on, he gave me the Psalms yesterday where God got the shits with kings who did the wrong thing and fucked them right up. Yeah, problem with the magic book again, isn't it? It gives you whatever answer you're looking for. Besides, says Kitty King Ted, we all know Chuck is old and fucked and will die any tick of the clock, so he can't do us any harm. The debate will go on and on and on. Eventually, Kitty King Ted will go boo-hoo-hoo, and the churchy type, seeing their Kitty King sobbing, will go out in sympathy. And they're all boo-hoo-hooing. Why not just get some hookers in? That'll cheer you up. No, the churchy types will suddenly be happy again because the Kitty King had held out, thus revealing his reformist zeal. No concessions for Mary. Let's prize open Ted's diary again. The bishops did conclude to give license to sin. They agreed it was best to suffer and wink at it for a time. Ambassadors will be sent to Chuck with instructions to stall him for a year or six. Meantime, two of Mary's gentlemen who had heard the mass will be off to the slammer, and a couple of her chaplains will join them. One more of her chaplains will defect to Cranmer. Meantime, Chuck is up to his ears in problems with Germany. It's not going well for him, so it's a request. Can you just let Mary have the bloody mass in a bedroom with the curtains closed and no extra visitors, and let her be satisfied with that, because surely she doesn't want people to die over this? But the council are looking a bit harder at our Kitty King. He'd stood up to a lot of them and had the churchy guys all boo-hoo-hooing. If he starts to take power, then the council will be out of a job. They now start surprising him with stuff rather than brief him beforehand. The council, though, have other problems. Religious bullshit is causing regular disturbances. Printers are printing pamphlets about the problems. Players are playing in the countryside, the theme being beware of the king and his council.
The military are sent out with orders to enforce laws against vagabonds, illegal games, and seditious meetings. Rumours are out that Mexicans are flooding our southern border. No, hang on. No, it's not Mexicans. Protestants are flooding our southern border. And you know we hate filthy foreigners, and they're causing rents to rise and an increase in food prices, so perhaps we need to form a militia and go in and sort the foreigners out. Maybe separate the kiddies and pop them in cages or something. And if we're going to do that, why not attack the foreign merchants at the same time? And we could even go on to hit the 1% wealthy fat cats, guys like John Dudley. Dudley's also having another fallout with Ted Seymour, looking to humiliate the guy. Seymour has been deprived of his separate dining table at court. He's got to eat with other people. And his title, King's Uncle, will be expanded to King's Uncle on his mother's side. Oh dear, we all know uncles on our mother's side are not as important as uncles on our father's side. You, my dear listener, should reinforce this at your Christmas dinner coming up by seating uncles on your mother's side at a lower table than uncles on your father's side. And make those mother's uncles do the washing up. Kitty King Ted's Chamberlain will die, and Dudley will order a state funeral for him. What? After he refused a state funeral for Ted Seymour's mum, grandma to the Kitty King? Oh dear. Let's rub it in some more when Dudley starts handing out presents to his followers, and of course himself. He will now also be Earl Marshal, which title had been, let's see, who had that? Oh, Ted Seymour. Yeah, he hasn't got it now. These boys just have no idea how to play nicely, do they? It's all too much. Ted's servant will be arrested for saying Ted would be a better governor than Dudley. Another of his servants will be up before the council accused of wanting to get Ted back in charge. Anonymous letter comes in from anonymous lord. Oh, that's always handy, isn't it? Anonymous letter from anonymous lord. Ted Seymour's guys have been sounding out to see if I would support him. Other nobles are finding Dudley Hardmen bursting into search for incriminating evidence, and they're not being careful with people's possessions when they go bursting in. Dudley has the reformers tied up to his team, so Ted's going to have to look at the conservatives for support. He will be talking up the cause of Lady formerly Princess Mary and Stephen Gardiner do his. Conservatives are interested. Let's see, who have we got? Frank Talbot, Earl of Shrewsbury, Henry Fitzalan, Earl of Arundel, and Ted Stanley, Earl of Derby. The council will order Ted Stanley to meet Dudley in Newcastle. That could be a trap, and it's not only me who thinks so. Stanley thinks so. So he'll say no thanks to the meeting. He is now getting even closer to Ted Seymour, so wedding. Stanley's son, our latest Lord Strange, to Ted's daughter. The two lads want either Ted Seymour back as Lord Protector, or Lady formerly Princess Mary as Regent, and to repeal all the reform legislation back to Henry's death. April 1551, and here's our gossip magazine. Ted Seymour is thinking of taking back the old religion. The council read that as Ted Seymour is about to try and take over London, while other nobles raised men of the north in rebellion. Dudley will up the security again with another 850 cavalry. That's £18,000 a year that could be going to the poor or education, but what am I talking about? That mob is more like Dudley's private army, so it would be another 800 horse raised for the protection of London. The Lord Mayor and Aldermen are told to put London on alert. Watch out for vagabonds and strangers. Be vigilant with the nightly watch. Arrests will start, gates will be locked, vagabonds will be publicly whipped. Word goes out to the country to also do this stuff. And it works. We uncover a plot that was due on May Day to rise up and get into rich people's houses. But was Ted Seymour behind this? One of his mates will be arrested on accusations of treason. Shrewsbury and Derby will decide best to stay home, writing to the council saying, "We heard you guys are doing a great job and you won't be needing us for the time being." A man will be arrested near Dudley's house. He's got a bloodied sword. Was this an assassination attempt? It's all a bit tense. Council will meet privately and say, "We need to show total unity at our meeting." And sure enough, the next council meeting will be a big love fest. Lots of I love you man stuff going on and big old man hugs. It will be a proclamation saying, hey everyone, cool it with the seditious talk. Everything's groovy. Vagabonds and unemployed soldiers need to go back to wherever they came from within 4 days, and everybody's to stop gossiping. Yeah, that'll work. And for printers, no printing anything without written permission from the council or the king. That last one will work so well that it'll be a follow-up proclamation a month later saying, destroy the slanderous bills that have just been printed. Yeah, you can't ban shit. Maybe they'll ever learn that one, will they? How is Dudley going? He's writing that he'd rather be dead than live in such a life as this 2 or 3 years have been. Yeah, being the top dog is not always a guarantee of happiness. Overseas, gossip has it that England is in disarray with a rebellion about to break out and the council are useless, and this is being backed by ambassadors who report back to Europe. Everything is going from bad to worse, they're saying. Well, that's a Venetian ambassador. The only bright light on the horizon is our marvellous Kitty King Ted, who is nearly old enough to take over and make England great again. Kitty King Ted has managed to score himself a spy. That's nice. William Thomas, Clerk of the Council. Now, he can find out what those buggers on the Council are up to and let the King know. Well done, lad. He is definitely interested in affairs of state. We can read his homework, and that shows that he's a pretty darn bright scholar, and his work could easily go straight to policy. He's got ideas like merchants can only own £100 worth of land. Yeah, great. Look, it would keep land prices reasonable, but, you know, I don't know if it would totally work, but, you know, it's good thinking. Or nobody can own more than 2,000 sheep and 2 farms. What if you got 2,001? What if an extra one mated when you weren't looking? Anyway, he's pretty hard on the wealthy types. He gets that inflation is fucking over the poor, and he wants to help. But not by charity. He does say vagabonds should be banished, so he's not totally on with the poor. And he's not happy with the state of play. The laws have been manifestly broken, the offenders punished on either by bribery or foolish pity escape punishment. The dissension and disagreement, both for private matters and also in matters of religion, has been no little cause, but the principle has been the disobedient and contentious talking and doing of foolish and fond people, which for lack of teaching have wandered and broken willfully and disobediently the laws of this realm. The lawyers also and judges have much offended in corruption and bribery. What shall I say of those that buy and sell offices of trust, that inappropriate benefices, that destroy timber, that, not considering the sustaining of men, turn till ground to pasture, that use excesses in apparel, in diet, and in building, of enclosures and wastes of commons, of those that cast false and seditious bills. But that thing is so tedious, long, and lamentable to entreat of the particulars that I am weary to go any further in the particulars. Yeah, Ted, look, see, it's not all that different today, I've got to tell you. Has he got a plan to solve all this? He certainly does. Good education, devising of good laws, executing laws justly without respect of persons, the example of rulers, punishing vagabonds and idle persons, encouraging the good, ordering well the customers, engendering friendships in all part of the Commonwealth. Look, I'm with him mostly on this. I think he's come up with a good set of plans. Education's the key for me, and obviously you do need laws that are a benefit to society, and take note of history. That's Ted's top three, and they're good for me. It's not just government he's working on. He's in touch with German reformers to work on religion, and he's got his dad's thing for music. He's got his own orchestra to play with. And of course he's into the hunting and the archery and the practicing of the tournament stuff. He's a busy boy. He's 13 and he's ready to participate in the running of the ring and the archery.
Won't go well, according to his diary.
The challenge at running the ring performed, at which first came the king. 16 footmen and 10 horsemen in black silk coats, pulled out with white silk taffeta. Then all lords, having 3 men likewise apparelled, and all gentlemen, their footmen, in white fustian, pulled out with black taffeta. The other side came all in yellow taffeta. He's into this taffeta, isn't he? At length the yellow band took it twice in 120 courses, and my band tainted often, which counted as nothing, and took never, which seemed very strange, and so the prize was of my side lost. Oh, well. Team Tudor went down to Team Seymour, led by Ted Seymour's lad. Still, the Tudors dressed in fashionable black, while the Seymours all looked like canaries in the yellow. Exercise and practice will now be on the Kitty King's daily to-do list. July 1551, sweating sickness, and it's a bad incidence of the thing. We get a bit more information on this from the Kitty King. It starts with a pain in the back or shoulder, which then spreads. The shits kick in with plenty of farting. At this stage, all you can try to do is stay awake for 12 hours. If you're not off to sleep, you will not wake up. Just so you know, Tom Cromwell's lad, Gregory, will cop a dose, and that'll be it for him. 31, but he and Elizabeth Seymour had given Tom 5 grandkiddies to continue the line. He hasn't been in the story because, really, Gregory didn't do that much. Member of the House of Lords, so he was there for things like Catherine Howard's downfall and Henry Howard's downfall, but unlike Tom, he kept a sensible low profile. The Kitty King is off to Hampton Court, but even there a couple of his workers will die from the sweats. Henry and Charles Brandon can die, but I think I've had that before. Charles Brandon and Catherine Willoughby's boys. Kitty Ted lost a couple of good mates there and was very upset. Mass graves are being dug, burials being done during the day. A bell will be rung 45 minutes before a burial so that people can get off the streets while they drag all the corpses around. It's terror and panic in London, and it's down to God has got the shits with us. But as usual, we are left to guess what we've done wrong. Is it because we gave up the rosary beads? Yeah, some people think so. And they can spruik their stuff, but as the disease goes away, the preacher choir will die down. Just like now, with COVID-19, the people look to the government for some nice economic relief. The council will revalue the coinage. Oh, fuck, this is the exact opposite of what the common types want. It goes back to our mad Welsh king, and sometimes you have to pay the price for a dickhead leader after they're dead even. And I've got a feeling that some of King Donald's decisions may cause the odd problem in coming months and years, but that's the future and we're looking at the past. Now, 8th Henry had debased the coinage, as I'm sure you remember. Currency was reminted with less silver content, but the same face value. Henry raised £450,000 from that to spend on stupid foreign wars and feeding his fat face. Now that doubled the number of coins in existence and led to hyperinflation, which is what caused those recent rebellions, despite historians wanting you to think it was all about the prayer book and baby Jesus. It's always money behind conflict, my dear listener. To be fair to the council, they knew this had to be fixed, and I guess there is never ever a good time to tell the population you need to take a dose of nasty medicine because the previous king fucked up. Dudley also had one last crack at the basement, so it wasn't just Henry either. Okay, here comes the pronouncement. Every shilling will be valued at 9p, and every groat, which is 4p, will be valued at 3p. So you, my dear common but hopefully no longer smelly-type listener, because we're in the 21st century and we've got deodorant, haven't we? But you can have a squeeze in your purse and just see how much money you just lost because the government devalued the fucking currency. There's a bigger problem back then because lack of communication systems and, lack of trust in the government. Now, is that any different then and now? Probably not. It's the rumour mill, and the rumour is that the government will have another crack at revaluing the currency down. So people just start doing it themselves, offering 6p worth of goods for a shilling. Can I make it worse for you? And you know I can. The rich being rich were in the know. They knew it was coming, and so they'd got out of their shillings and groats and put their money into something that would retain value. So once again, the people doing the suffering are the common smelly types, while the rich are getting richer. And didn't we have that in the US? Didn't Donald brief the rich on the coronavirus saying, look, it's actually fair dinkum, perhaps you want to get out of the stock market? And they did. Made their money, didn't they? 8th of July, and the council will try to steady things, but by the 18th of August, they confirm what the mob knew all along and devalue the shilling to 6p. Those shillings are worth half what they were. But has your rent gone down? No chance. Arrests are made of guys alleged to be looking at starting a rebellion. The government are telling people that they'll arrange for rents and the prices of essentials to be lowered. Good luck.
Love, help, poor and needy in this land. Ooh, love, help the poor and needy in this land. Will we all out together? Will we face the morning sun? Oh, my Lord, can you help, my Lord?
Yeah, the marvellous Cat Power with a bit of a live version there of Lord Help the Poor and Needy, twist the nobles fucking way. The council are looking for a treaty with the Frenchies. They're still banging on about marrying Kitty King Ted to baby Mary Queen of Scots. The Frenchies are saying, how about King Henri's little Princess Elizabeth? It'll be a deal. Then come the Frenchy envoys to conclude deal with lavish banquets and entertainments. Just the construction of a banqueting house at Hyde Park will cost £450, and goodness knows how much the fireworks cost. Suck on that, poor people. Eat those fireworks. The Frenchies will describe Kitty Ted as magnificent. It was impossible to imagine a more beautiful face and figure set off by the brilliance of jewels and robes, and a mass of diamonds, rubies and pearls, emeralds and sapphires. They made the whole room look as if lit up. We're dressed to impress because Kitty Ted will be given the Order of Saint Michel. Ted has in fact become a collector of sparkly things, buying up lots of pearls, diamonds and that sort of stuff. Frenchies will be given gold plate worth £8,200. Are you feeling a bit rebellious, my dear listener? Ted can now sit for his portrait to be sent to Princess Elizabeth. Frenchie Betty, who is 6, will say good day to the portrait every morning. How sweet. Speaking of Frenchies, we left Mary of Guise in France with baby Mary Queen of Scots doing Highland dancing to impress the Frenchies. They've been entertaining Mary, mock naval battles on the Seine, and, oh whoops, some gunpowder accidentally ignited with 2 ships lost and all crews dead. Oh, so long as we're having fun. Mary will find time to go to her old homes, but it's time at the court for her mainly. Thing is, for Mary's family and France itself, it's really nice to see her. They love her. But Scotland actually needs her. So spring 1551, we'll see her ready to go home. But yeah, just when you thought you were never going to hear that one ever again, it's a plot to poison baby Mary, Queen of Scots. Oh no. The culprit is one of those guys that have been into the killing of Cardinal Beacon and then holed up in the castle until saved by the English. He'd been captured by the Frenchies, made a daring escape, then joined the French King's regiment of Scots Guards. He came up with a plan to get into the royal kitchen and poison the fritted pears. Baby Mary, Queen of Scots' favourite dish, and oh, pear fritters, my dear listener. Pear fritters. Don't you want a nice plate of pear fritters right now with butterscotch ice cream? Oh yeah, amen to that. Mary will leap into action and collapse, staying in bed for a few days. That's Mary of Guise. September, autumn, and it's all boo-hoo-hoo. Au revoir, ma petite Marie, Queen of Scots. Off she goes, accompanied by her lad, Frankie. He's 16 years old now, a real big boy, who would be able to pop over to Scotland to see Mum any time he likes. Except that when they get to Amiens, Frankie will feel a bit unwell. 22nd of September, and he's dead. This is terrible news for the family and worse news for the bank account. He was the Duc de Longueville, and the Duc de Longueville was extremely wealthy. But, yeah, no, he's not that anymore, and that money will now go. Mary will be too upset to go to the funeral and has once again to pack her bags to leave France. She won't be back. Rather than sail to Scotland, Mary will take the opportunity of peace to travel through England. Off she goes, landing in Portsmouth with messages to Kitty King Ted to say, I'm here. I thought I might just drop in. Mary will make her way slowly to London, stopping in with various nobles. It'll be Tom Howard's younger brother who will take her on the last leg to Hampton Court, where the courtiers have all turned out for a meet and greet. The ladies will take her on a tour of the place so Mary can see the wealth and magnificence of England. There were countless precious carpets, beautiful paintings, richly gilded carvings and sculptures, priceless tapestries woven with gold and silver thread, enamel-set furniture, gold plate, and exquisite stained glass windows. A bit like Jeff Bezos's house. Way better than the stuff in Scotland, but Mary knows that this was all paid for by the ravaging of the churches. Lavish feasts and entertainments, of course. Next day, we'll be off deer hunting, then off by the King's very own royal barge to London. It'll be Lambeth Palace first for a feast thanks to the Lord Mayor. Time to say hi to the new Duke of Suffolk, Henry Grey, who married Lady Frances Brandon. So Henry Grey got to be the Duke of Suffolk. And Henry has messages of friendship and welcome from the Kitty King. Also there to say hi is our old friend Margaret Douglas, who of course is now the Countess of Lennox. Now oddly enough, these two hadn't met before. I guess that's because Margaret Douglas was hanging in England, wasn't it? No word whether Margaret Douglas had brought along a 5-year-old Kitty Henry Lord Darnley, who will be big in the story. 4th of November 1551, and finally off to Westminster to meet Kitty King Ted. Brilliant. Nice dinner, then next day it's the presents. Mary will score 2 nice horses and a diamond ring with a very large rock. A couple of days there, and then it's off, escorted by the Duke of Northumberland. And who is this Duke of Northumberland I've just dropped into the story? It's none other than... Yeah, I'm telling myself I'm giving you the shits with that. I shouldn't have found it again, should I? But it's none other than John Dudley. Yeah, a couple of weeks earlier, John had decided he should be a Duke. They're popping up, aren't they? I mean, say Henry VIII just had the 2. That was nice and easy for us, just the 2. But now we're getting them popping up all over the place. Ted Seymour, Duke of Somerset. Now, let's remember, the Duke thing was supposed to be for younger sons of princes. They're princes themselves, but they're not going to be kings, so they're calling a Duke. But now it's any old bugger can be a Duke, isn't it? I could be a Duke. It will be a large procession for Mary of Guise, lots of nobles, and a grumbling imperial ambassador. The English are pandering to the Frenchies when they should be pandering to us. Mary, though, missed out on meeting the ladies formerly princesses. Mary had said, sorry, crook in the guts, and baby Betty of charming bottom fame made some excuse, but her note didn't survive. It may have been bum bleaching day or something. Or it could be that the political tensions in Kitty King Ted's court make it a bit hot for ladies formerly princesses. Mary of Guise will take a time going back to Scotland, and you would too, my dear listener, if you've got to stop off at various mansions for free feeds and entertainment. At Berwick will be Lord Bottles and Meter, and that's it. Home again. Useless Lord Arran will give every show that he's totally pleased to see a home, although I'm pretty sure he wasn't. Mary won't care. She's had 2 kings and the top nobles of 2 countries all looking after her, so who gives a fuck about Lord Arran anyway? Mary's got a renewed sense of purpose and a boost to her confidence. We're at peace, so she's going to immediately get the defences up to scratch and reinforced, and we'd like to try to introduce some Frenchy stuff into court. On top of that, as you well know by now, if Scotland is at peace, the nobles will be into belting each other. So Mary will be off on a tour to try and sort out disputes and get a bit of law and order back into the place. Let's leave Mary then to do some ruling and get back to the cesspit that is the court of Kitty King Ted VI. With the new Frenchy alliance and betrothal of Kitty King to Frenchy Betty, Dudley thought it would be a good time to sort out Lady formerly Princess Mary. Frenchies are aggro with super sausage chuck, so he's too busy worrying about the Frenchies to be worrying about a cousin's praying regime. But there's resistance in England with Seymour and those other earls, Arundel and Derby mainly, that's Fitzalan and Stanley, and they'll be brought in to sit on a one-day special council meeting where the business is to prohibit
the saying of the mass in Mary's household. Oh dear, Fitzalan and Stanley are expected to sign off on this or show their hand and rebel. 23rd of August and three of Mary's guys will be off to the tower. Richard Rich, the fucker, is off to Mary's place to order a chaplains to cease and desist with the mass thingy. Mary will have a hissy fit and offer to pop her head onto the block for it to be removed from the rest of her. I'm dying anyway because the council are making me sick, and if I do die, I'll tell everyone it was you, Richard Rich the fucker, who made me die. Bit hard to tell people if you're fucking dead, Mary. Look, think it through. I did say she was having a hissy fit, though, so don't expect any logic. Still, Mary knows that Chuck won't be helping out, so her power is, well, let's see, fuck all. So far as we know, Mary will go without mass for the next 2 years. Did she die from that? No. Imperial Ambassador will keep up his complaints. Dudley will say, look, don't complain to the council. Kitty King is old enough to have taken the religious decisions away from us, but hang on, I'll ask him. Hey, Ted, Your Majesty, can Mary hear mass? Fuck no, says Kitty King Ted, and there you go, Ambassador. No, here it is, Pop-like. King Edward was quite determined that the laws and statutes that had been decreed and issued in his kingdom should be obeyed inviolably by everyone.
And I cop all this shit all the time, and I'm sick of it. Absolutely sick of it.
Yeah, poor old Mary. Dudley will keep up a bit, niggling at Mary, calling her the King's sister instead of Lady formerly Princess. This whole thing looks like it was to provoke Ted Seymour. Dudley hasn't forgotten that incident that looked like a botched assassination attempt by Seymour. Seymour has again been sidelined by the council following his opposition to Kitty Ted's betrothal to Frenchie Betty. Ted Seymour thought the Kitty King should have married his cousin, that is, the Kitty King's cousin, Ted Seymour's daughter, of course. Ted Seymour will stick his head up to say Mary should be allowed to have the mass. Dudley will say the mass is either from God or the devil. It's not in the scriptures, so it can't be from God. It's actually a human invention, Dudley. Dudley's been working away at Ted Seymour, so time for Seymour to team up with the Earl of Arundel Fitzalan to plot Dudley's downfall. Dudley's trying to move this thing along. Chuck might be busy with Frenchie Henry, but his sister Mary of Hungary has got time on her hands, and she's saying she might like to come to England to belt up naughty counsellors for giving Mary a hard time. So that's why Dudley wants to move the Seymour thing along. He wants to get rid of Seymour, so he's ready to belt up Mary of Hungary if she decides to turn up. 7th of October 1551, and in to see Dudley is former Ted Seymour mate, now Dudley mate, Sir Tom Palmer. Tom's here to say that Ted Seymour will raise the people. And part of this plan was to hold a banquet for Dudley and invite Dudley's good mate, the Earl of Northampton, Henry Howard, along to make the toast. This Henry Howard is the son of executed Henry Howard, so grandson of our now very old Tom Howard, and he's Dudley's good mate. So the plan is to get the two to a banquet where it'll be surprised, motherfuckers. We've got an axe, a block, and an executioner, and you guys are dead. Ha ha ha. 4 days later, we get an update from Palmer. Ted Seymour's man has got 2,000 guys in readiness to spring into action, and another of his men is getting ready to raise rebellion in London with the help of the naughty apprentices. These guys plan to take the Great Seal and get the Tower of London. The plans are really good then, just a shame that Dudley knows about them. Dudley needs to make sure of his team, so that's when Henry Grey will get the Duke of Suffolk gig. William Paulet will be made Marquess of Winchester, and William Herbert will get the Earl of Pembroke job back. And of course, it'll be the Duke of Northumberland for Dudley himself. Dudley needed that. Ted Seymour had made himself a duke, so outranked everyone on the council in theory. Now Dudley has himself and Henry Grey as two dukes against Ted Seymour. The ceremony will go well, except that when they list Dudley's achievements or the reason why he deserves this big promotion, part of it will be his conduct of the campaign in 1547 in Scotland. And, yeah, that was Seymour, so one of Seymour's guys will make a big fuss. It's Ted Seymour, he should get the credit for that. But we'll get to the feasting and everybody will be happy again. Yeah, pretty easy to make blokes happy. Put food and booze in front of them.
Ted Seymour will be planning a trip north, but in comes a message saying, stay put, mate. Now, that will put the frighteners on him, but William Herbert will say, no problems for you, Ted, and I'm in the know. Ted Seymour really should be suspicious, given that William Herbert had just been given his earldom back. Ted Seymour's getting worried and trying his heart out to get information. He will get Tom Palmer in for good grilling, and Palmer will deny everything. Ted will let him go. Big mistake, Ted. Let's open Kitty King, Ted's diary again. This would be the 15th of October, 1551. This morning, none was at Westminster of the conspirators. The first was the Duke, and he's talking about Ted Seymour there, who came later than he was wont, by himself. After dinner, he was apprehended. Sir Thomas Palmer was taken on the terrace walking there. Hammond, passing by Mr. Vice Chamberlain's door, was called in by John Piers to make a match at shooting, and so was taken. Newdigate was called for as from my lord and master, and taken. Likewise were John Seymour and Davy Seymour. Sir Thomas Arundel was also taken. Vane was discovered hiding beneath the straw in the stable at Lambeth. These went to the Duke with the Tower this night, saving Palmer, Arundel and Vane, who were kept in chambers here apart. Yes, there'll be letters out to the justices all over England. Look, Ted Seymour is evil, so we had to do our duty and arrest the bugger. More arrests will follow. Duchess of Somerset, Ted's missus, keeper of their chamber is gone, and just for fun, common type James Wingfield will get done for handing out bills of sedition, and more will go with them. In goes William Paget. Arundel's going in, Lord Grey of Wilton will be picked up, but Sir Richard Rich, the fucker, is staying away from everybody, just sending his letter of resignation, crossing his fingers and hoping for the best. And that's where we'll leave it this week, with a big bunch of people in the slammer where they can stay until next week. Lesson here for us is that if you're going to have a purge, then don't just go after the big swinging dick. Take out everybody you know, including the fucking milkman. And Dudley has done just that. A bit of Jimmy Page here to get into some historical fiction. So this week I did read the final in the Uhtred Son of Uhtred series. What did Bernard Cornwell call it? Warlord. That's it, Warlord. So you can kind of work out how old Uhtred is. Sort of, kind of. He's in his 70s. Still useful. And we're going to end up in that great war, the Battle of Brunanburh, where Athelstan defeated Constantine of Scotland and Anlaf of Ireland. This is where the historians say, yeah, this is when England was created. We kind of thought that it might have been created a bit earlier, but historians want to have a big battle. And Bernard Cornwell goes along with that. He's quite happy to say that that's where England was formed. It's a Uhtred Son of Uhtred novel, so I expect it to be pretty marvellous like the rest of them. There's a little bit of wonky stuff when Athelstan loses his sword, but Bernard Cornwell was just trying to tidy up the chronicles that had this kind of magical thing happen with some bishop, so Bernard tried his best to paper that over. Marvellous read. Not so marvellous. Spanish Princess Season 2, I'm really struggling with this because I think they got the timeline, the different events there, and put them all on bits of paper, threw them up in the air, and then just said, this is the order we'll do them in. So things are out of order. And Catherine's kind of giving me the shits. Like, I'm happy to have a thing about a strong, powerful woman. There's a couple of times there, look, some of the stuff they've got this Catherine doing is bloody treason, and Catherine of Aragon would not have done that. So it's a bit sloppy, I think, on the part of the scriptwriters. You've got to have different ways for the powerful woman to show us how she exerts her power. Far more interesting in Season 2 is Margaret Tudor, although she does yell a lot. Well, she's quiet down a bit. So she's
currently up there in Scotland having all the troubles with Archie Douglas. And then once again, the scriptwriters go and fucking spoil it by saying she's having all sorts of problems trying to get a divorce out of the Pope from Archie Douglas. And we know that's bullshit. These nobles all got their divorces or marriages or whatever the fuck they wanted. Easy peasy, just send the cash and you can have it. Henry only copped that hard time because the Pope had been done over by Super Sausage Chuck, who was Catherine's nephew. So, yeah, very disappointing season two. They're not even getting the titties out. Why would you watch it? I don't know. Up to you. But for us, it's just a matter of what we go out with, and this week I thought we might have a crack at an Italian artist. Yeah, let's see, what's her name? Aceto Aceta. And her song, Prozac Plus. Hope to see you next week. Bye. Che viaggio strano, quando tornerò, poi lo rifarò, così lontano, non sono stata mai, già ripartirei, mi sento